around 12 or 13 degrees here, but in the sunshine across southeastern Scotland, highs of 14. Now, through Wednesday night, it should be mostly dry across the UK, with the winds continuing to ease down, and a mostly dry day on Thursday, but there'll be more wet and windy weather heading its way towards us on Friday.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And now it's that book of the week. Jennifer Saunders has been making us laugh since the 1980s, most notably with her comedy partner Dawn French in their long-running sketch show, and later with the hit comedy series Absolutely Fabulous, which she wrote and starred in. Today, Lulu makes an appearance on French and Saunders, but there is an unfortunate and unintended outcome. First of all, Jennifer Saunders recalls her early years on the comedy circuit in the next instalment from her memoir, Bonkers, My Life in Laughs.
So onwards, dear listener. It's 1981. My 23-year-old self is sitting in a small dressing room at the comic strip club with Miss Dawn French. After Dawn had agreed that we might indeed be described as a female comedy act, I'd rung the club and was told to come along and audition at the Boulevard Theatre in Raymond's Review Bar in London, Soho, a popular nudie show venue. Neither of us thought that being called to perform in a strip club was strange at all. We just went. The Boulevard was a 200-seater theatre. In 1980, Peter Richardson hired it as a new comedy venue. The only other big comedy venue was the nearby Comedy Store. But Peter wanted his own place and brought with him the core group from the Comedy Store. Alexei Sale, the compere, Adrian Edmondson and Rick Mayle, 20th Century Coyote, himself and Nigel Planer, The Outer Limits, and a stand-up called Arnold Brown. I'm Scottish and Jewish, two stereotypes for the price of one. Aid and Rick had been at Manchester University together. Their characters, the Dangerous Brothers, had a crazed energy. I asked Aid recently how he would describe the act, and he said, bollocks done at 100 miles an hour, no jokes, just a huge amount of fear. It was, in fact, a brilliant combination of non-jokes, great comic timing, and extreme physical violence. Offstage, Aid was the quieter of the two and would often come into the girls' dressing room. I remember liking him, but there was no bolt of lightning. He also wasn't available. He was married to his first wife, Anna. We arrived, did our sketch, and were hired. I have to admit, there didn't seem to be a great deal of competition. The other acts auditioning were fire eaters and jugglers. There just weren't many female acts around. Most comedy clubs were bear pits. I think we got the gig by virtue of the fact that we were the first living, breathing people with bosoms to walk through the door. Culturally, there was a great sense of change. To be young was to be angry and resistant and to rail iconoclastically. Not entirely sure what this means, but the dictionary suggests that it is what I mean. Against what had gone before. Music was angry and comedy was angry. But generally Dawn and I represented those who were just quite cross. At first, we were so inexperienced that we thought we had to change our act every evening. Then someone pointed out to us that it was in fact the audience who changed and that we didn't have to. Backstage, there were two small dressing rooms. Dawn and I had the smaller one, which we generally had to ourselves, there being a lack of comedy females, and all the boys were squashed into the other one next door. We'd go in and hang with them sometimes, but to be honest, it stunk. They were always dripping with sweat when they came off stage, and the only facility to wash in was a sink that they had filled with bottles of beer. Occasionally, at various intervals, the boys would come in and see us in our nice, unsmelly dressing room, including Aid, quite often. One night, Dawn and I played a scary gig at the Comedy Store. The boys had played there a lot, but we had never had the nerve. Basically, you just had to stay on stage and hope that the audience liked you. If they started booing, the compere would hoik you off. It was competitive. The level of booing depended on how drunk the audience were, and survival depended on how fast you could get through your act. I realised that this is why the boys' acts were fast and aggressive. You just couldn't allow the audience any thinking time. We went on stage to the inevitable shouts of "Show us your tits," which we ignored, and proceeded at speed with our sketch. But the shouts got worse and were mainly coming from a large group of men in the corner. "Get your tits out!" We tried to keep going, but just as I was happy to leave the stage, Dawn marched to the front and looked hard at these men. "Will you just shut up? Do you realise how rude you're being? There are people in this audience who actually like to listen. You just stop it. Shut up." Whole audience went quiet, and so did the shouters. We finished our act and left the stage to mild applause. Dawn had frightened them. Dawn was a teacher, and she was having none of it. Later, as we were about to leave, one of the group came up to us. He apologised profusely and explained that it was a stag do that had got a bit out of hand. And surprisingly, they were from the River Police. It is May 1985, and I've just woken up in a huge bed in a huge hotel in the Lake District. Waking up next to me is a lovely man. I have married Adrian Edmondson. So how did all this come about? Well, when the Comic Strip Club closed, we went on tour around Britain in a coach. Peter Richardson, Nigel Planer, Rick and Aid, me and Dawn, Arnold Brown, and a house band. We played small venues up and down the country. Art centres, theatres, a working man's club, and an old cinema in Glasgow where the seats had to be sprayed with disinfectant before the audience came in. We already knew each other well, but on that tour I felt we became a proper gang. I have to say at this point I got on well with all the boys. There was no particular special spark between Aid and me. We were just friends. Nothing to see here. Move on, please, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. The following year, 1982, we made Five Go Mad in Dorset, the first comic strip film, which was to go out on Channel 4's opening night. It was a relaxed production. We drove down to Devon, picking other people up on the way, listening to our Walkmans in the back of the car. Once there, we stayed at Peter's mum's house and slept in bunk beds and barns. Five Go Mad in Dorset became Channel 4's first ever comedy show. A week after the screening, the first ever series of The Young Ones went out on BBC Two. And while the boys, Aid, Rick, Nigel and Alexei, became a cultural phenomenon, Dawn and I continued to work live, touring small gigs and fringe theatre venues and vegetarian restaurants and pet parlours throughout 1983. I'm not very good when it comes to chronology, and I can't quite work out how we fitted it all in. But then, I don't ever remember feeling we were at work. Work and social life merged, because we were young and always with our friends. Pub, film set, pub, pub, studio, pub, gig, pub, pub, pub. There was only fun to be had. In 1984, pub, pub turned into travelling round Dorset with my friend Aid, looking for a small cottage for him to buy. Then, on one of our jaunts in Dorset, the romance began. It was very easy. We were already such good friends. The hardest thing was announcing it to other members of the comic strip. It didn't feel incestuous, it just felt awkward. Dawn knew, of course. She said she'd always been convinced that we should get together and was frustrated by how long it took us. So that's how come I'm lying in bed on honeymoon with him. We are wearing matching his and hers nightshirts that were given to us as a wedding present. Outside, the weather is terrible. It has rained constantly since we arrived, and I think I've developed tonsillitis because I fell asleep in the jacuzzi bath of the hotel we stayed in on our wedding night. When I woke, the water was cold, the window was open, and Aid had passed out on the bed. I'm not feeling well at all. Dawn and I are at the BBC. we have been given an office here to write our second series of French and Saunders. The first series was met with mixed reviews, as they say. But thankfully, in those days, the powers that be held their nerve and gave you a second chance. In our years working with various guests, we soon came to realise that there are people with funny bones, those with none, and those who are simply nervous of being funny. We particularly loved Lulu. Lulu! Lulu was an old hand at the variety show and had the right attitude. An extraordinarily great and uncomplaining attitude, for which we were particularly grateful on the day we shot her. Yes, dear listener, we shot her. We shot Lulu. I mean, we did mean to shoot her, but we didn't mean to actually shoot her. This is what happened. Dawn and I were in the white room, dressed as John Travolta from Pulp Fiction, as you do. Black suits, slicked back black hair, sideburns and machine guns. We had invented the white room in the second series as a place where French and Saunders could live. So, there we were, holding Lulu hostage, as per the film. But Lulu was annoying us somewhat by constantly singing the opening to her big hit, Shout. She did it once too often, so we turned our guns on her. We blew her apart with major Tarantino-esque bloodiness. Well, of course we didn't really. She just had 20 or more blood charges taped to her skin inside her white blouse. As we pretended to fire, they would explode. The only instruction Lulu had was not to have her arms by her side. If she did, she would stop that charge exploding and it would then backfire into her skin. I had no problem there. All very safe, listeners. But the truth is, you can't practice that sort of thing. It's a one-off. There was only one blouse, so we went for it. So Lulu sang, once too often, and we machine gunned her. The pops went off and were fairly frightening, and Lulu at one point kept one arm too close to her side. At first nothing seemed wrong. Laughter, laughter. Look at Lulu covered head to foot in blood. And then Lulu slightly wincing, something not good now. And then Lulu rolling up her shirt sleeve to reveal hole in arm. It was a perfectly round hole, the same size as the charge, like a £2 coin, but twice as deep. It hadn't started to bleed yet, as the charge had cauterised it for the moment. But it was shocking. Nobody quite knew what to do. The producers, of course, were panicking and seeing an expensive court case ahead. The special effects guy, shaking, approached her timidly with a J-cloth, which we said wouldn't do. We took Lulu to her dressing room and called for first aid. Now, it turns out that the first aid available on a studio night was the doorman. He arrived at the dressing room with a small box of cotton wool and plasters to be greeted by the sight of Lulu head to toe in wet blood. He dropped the box and had to sit down. The poor man eventually had the situation explained to him and thought we should take her to hospital. He was right. John Plowman, the producer, took Lulu to hospital. She never complained. She never moaned. She never sued. She was well behaved throughout. And despite having to have some very minor plastic surgery, has remained our friend to this day.
Well, I feel... Whoa!
Jennifer Saunders continues reading from her memoir Bonkers, My Life in Laughs, tomorrow. The abridger was Richard Hamilton and the producer was Elizabeth Allard. And for more on one of Britain's best-loved comedians, go to the Book of the Week pages of the Radio 4 website, where you can find some snaps from Jennifer Saunders' wedding album. BBC Radio 4. Now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 today, Wednesday, the 23rd of October. There are warnings of gales in Dogger, German Bight, Humber, Thames, Dover, White, Portland, Plymouth, Biscay, Fitzroy, Rockall, Malin, Hebrides, Bailey, Fair Isle and Faroes. The general synopsis at 1800. Low Rockall 978, expected Faroes 976 by 1800 Wednesday. The area forecast for the next 24 hours, Viking, north at 0, south at 0, 40s, Cromarty, 4th, Tyne. Southerly, veering westerly later, 5 to 7, perhaps gale 8 later, except in Tyne. Occasional rain, moderate or poor, occasionally good. Dogger, south, veering west later 5, increasing 6 to gale 8, occasional rain then showers, moderate or good, occasionally poor. Fisher, south, veering southwest.